Don't you press that skip button. You got to listen to this. Now, if you're a fan of I Can't Read, check out iTunes.com and then type in I Can't Read and subscribe there. You are no longer subscribed to all of the shows of the Lousy Weather Media Empire. You have to subscribe to the ones that you want to keep listening to, so check it out there. iTunes, subscribe. Also, check it out on Audioboom. Check out our website, lousyweathermedia.com. But make sure to hit the subscribe button or else you will not get any more I Can't Reads, and that's sad. Now enjoy the show.
Would you like to read a book? No, I don't.
I can't read. Hello, and welcome to this week's installment of I Can't Read. I'm Paul.
I'm Tony.
How you doing, man?
I'm very good. How are you?
Pretty good. Just did a lot of shovel throwing.
I did all the shovel throwing that's ever been done.
Yeah, you killed it. My first news, we'll dive right in, is 2016 Fall Movies Preview, the 20 films to see.
Who wrote this?
This is off a Screen Rant. The first one is Sully. It comes out September 9th.
Yeah, put that plane down.
Excited?
Not really.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Saw Flight, I guess.
Yeah.
Blair Witch.
Nah.
Why not?
Because I've already seen it.
It's a new one.
Hey, you know. They're going to fuck it. They're going to fuck it the way paranormals get fucked and all the other fucking insta... It'll be like Insidious and it'll be like Purge and like they all make the same movies now.
Yeah. Have you seen the trailer for it?
Yeah.
And you didn't think it was good?
I give it a good...
burp.
Yep.
The Magnificent Seven.
Yeah, that looks kind of fun.
By the way, Sully's out September 9th, Blair Witch September 16th, Magnificent Seven September 23rd. Yeah, that looks insane. That's a remake, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I believe so. I was like, it's weird that they went with... I was seeing a movie with Farkas. I think it was Star Trek Beyond, and I was like, it's weird that they went with the Magnificent Seven when you had the Hateful Eight just a minute ago, and he's like, well, it's a remake. That was the original title.
Yeah, you stupid idiot.
Yeah, basically, that's what he said to me. Yeah, I think that looks really good. Mrs. Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. Have you seen the previews for it?
Yeah.
Tim Burton?
Yeah.
Looks scary.
Tim Burton hasn't done much of anything in 10 years.
September 30th, what was your last favorite Tim Burton film?
Sleepy Hollow.
I think this looks cool. I'm interested in this. I think it looks nice. I like it.
Do it.
Sorry for that. The Birth of a Nation, October 7th.
I don't know anything about that.
I think that's the, is Matthew McConaughey in this one? No, that's the
Jonestown.
Other one. Yeah. This is, looks like, Civil War times.
Oh, okay.
Which, Jonestown also takes place in that, correct?
I believe so, I don't know.
Okay, thanks for all your knowledge.
Yep.
The Girl on the Train. that's October 7th. I haven't seen any previews for this.
I haven't seen any previews for it, so let's bring it up.
The trailer marketing for The Girl on the Train hasn't exactly been subtle about drawing parallels between this film itself, based on the best-selling novel of the same name by Paula Hawkins, and the Gillian Flynn's best-selling book turned hit 2014 movie Gone Girl. So it's going to be like Gone Girl, I guess. Gone Girl was really good.
Oh, okay.
The Accountant, October 14th. I haven't seen this either. Have you seen...
This is riveting.
Batfleck himself, dude.
Batfleck himself in The Accountant.
Ben Affleck stars in The Accountant as a very different type of superhero. Oh, shit.
He.
Namely, a mathematics
keeps
savant.
Keeps your books balanced.
No, he's a mathematical savant. With a long history of working for the world's most dangerous criminal organizations. That sounds really interesting.
Way to switch it up, dude. Now, I like that. Damon's not the genius. Affleck is.
Yeah, Affleck. So, yeah, The Accountant. Why is JavaScript keep trying to open? Fuck off.
Also, I saw a preview for... Incarnate.
That looked insane.
Demon Incarnate.
Yeah, that looked really cool, but then it was like from the people that brought you Insidious.
Yeah,
I was like, fuck!
These nine movies that are kind of the same.
Yeah, I did. I was not a big fan of Insidious, mostly because the first hour of that movie is great, but then when they go to Dream World, I get really angry.
From the dozen eggs that are the Saw movies. Fucking A.
Jack Reacher, Never Go Back. Did you see the first Jack Reacher?
I love Jack Reacher.
Yeah, the one with Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
The first one's bad as fuck. There's a knife fight at the end, like real good one.
You like knife fights.
Yeah.
You're a big knife fight guy.
Yeah, knife fighting is one of my favorite types of fighting.
That's October 21st. Very intimate fighting.
Mm.
Knife fights.
You really have to get in there.
October 21st as well, Monster Calls.
Oh, yeah.
That looks awesome. Liam Neeson playing the monster, little kid. I think his mom's died
that
of cancer.
Heartbreaking as fuck.
Truly. But
I watched the preview like 3 times and cried almost the first time.
Wow. Not the second or third?
No, the first one.
Gotcha.
Shut up.
Doctor Strange, November 4th.
Obviously.
Excited as fuck, dude. That movie looks great.
Obviously.
I can't wait. I've been reading some stuff, and maybe Brother Voodoo's going
to
show up.
I love anything to do with, like, magic and dimensions and fucking, like, energy powers.
Yeah. Seems like they're going to nail it. Hex.
Except that fucking Wi-Fi line.
Oh, yeah. No, it's the Wi-Fi password. Fuck off. Hacksaw Ridge, November 4th.
Nope.
Never heard of it?
Nope.
This fucking JavaScript. Mm-hmm. Save for his appearances in The Expendables 3, Mel Gibson has been quietly acting on the fringes of Hollywood for the past several years, with roles in such lower-budget B-movies as Get the Gringo and Bloodfather. The Oscar-winning actor-filmmaker will be back behind the camera for the first time in a decade, so he is directing this.
He is a good director.
A true story-based drama about Desmond T. Doss, objector... What the fuck?
There we go.
Words are getting to me, man. Help me out, Tone. It's during World War II. That's all you need to know.
I don't know what the word is.
It's cool. I was joking. Arrival, which looks dope.
Oh, I cannot fucking wait for Arrival, a mature fucking alien movie.
Yeah, November 11th that comes out. Yeah, I'm so happy that you remember The Fifth Wave?
Yes.
I was like, this has so much potential, but it's going to be dog shit because they're trying to make fucking Hunger Games with aliens.
Yeah.
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, November 18th. Oh, JavaScript.
I'm sure that'll be beautiful.
Yeah, the trailers look pretty strong for that. I'm stoked for Colin Farrell to be in that. Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk. I saw a trailer for this. Have you seen it?
Nope.
It's Ang Lee. A lot of birds, a lot of guns.
Yep, slow-mo.
Yeah. So it says it's also similar to Lee's Life of Pi adaptation in that it, too, was filmed in 3D. So... Yeah. And 120 frames per second, that's insane.
That's so many.
It's about a young Iraq War military veteran who flashes back to his time on the battlefield even as he participates in a victory tour access across the U.S. in the present day. So it's going to be flashbacks of like while he's out there. Like, yeah, you know, he's all fucked up. Yeah, the trailer didn't look
Manchurian
that good.
Manchurian Candidate. Mm.
Allied, that's a new Brad Pitt film, November 23rd. Let's see what this is about.
Allied.
I haven't seen The Walk. Did you see that yet?
No.
I really want to. World War II drama thriller featuring two noteworthy leads, Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard.
Ooh, Cotillard. She pretty.
And then, Mona?
Mona.
Yeah, that's November 23rd as well. The Ocean is Calling.
Uh-huh.
That's the anime CGI type thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that looked really cool, too.
Pacific Islander style.
Yeah, it was made by, thanks to critical commercials, smash hits like Zootopia and the Jungle Book, as well as the equally successful release from its subsidiaries Pixar and Marvel Studios. Oh, it's a Marvel. Walt Disney Animation Studios' second feature-length film releases of the year, Mona is shaping up to be more than the cherry on top of the sundae.
I'm excited. I want to see the Two Strings.
What's that?
I forget the... Something in the Two Strings.
Okay, look it up.
You don't know...
No, I'm not.
It's an animated film. I figured you'd know it.
No. La La Land?
Nope.
December 2nd. Wide on the 16th.
We probably should have just, you know, watched this list.
Yeah, all these movies.
Mm. Kubo and the Two Strings, dude.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's the girl with the guitar.
Yeah, totally. I think I tagged you and Scotty in that.
Yeah, a year ago.
Because Jesus Christ, it takes so long to make those.
You remember it so well. This one was different.
What is it actual?
It's stop animation.
Yeah.
It's like 8 foot, like entire city ramas they built and shit. Like, it's incredible.
That looked cool. La La Land is a, is also a full blown musical. Wow. And a throwback to Technicolor musicals in the mid 20th century.
Ooh.
Timely. Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, December 16th.
Never heard of this movie.
Yeah, it's an indie film.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed.
Uh-huh.
That comes out the 21st of December.
Moving on.
Yeah, that doesn't look that good. Passengers, another Tom Cruise, December 21st as well.
Passengers.
Is the
they're
one...
along for the ride.
That's the quote. Wow.
Shut up.
I'm kidding, it's not. Is the one film on this list that, at the time of writing this, has yet to get an official trailer. Nevertheless, the movie's credentials speak for themselves. It stars two of the biggest names in Hollywood. It's Chris Pratt. My bad. He looks just like Tom Cruise.
Chris Pratt.
Let's see, the fresh off the Oscar nominated work of the acclaimed biopic The Imitation Game, which is so good. If you haven't seen that, check that out. The guy that screenwriter who had a hand in crafting Prometheus and Doctor Strange is an original character driven story presented through the lens of a big budget sci-fi movie. So that sounds cool.
Yeah, it's tight.
Sci-fi movie with our boy.
I like sci-fi.
And that is...
The most.
The list.
That is the list, people.
Bad Santa 2 is an honorable mention. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a big... I don't know if I watched Bad... Yeah, I did watch Bad Santa 1. That was the one with the elf, right? And fucking... what's that dude's name? Billy Bob Thornton,
yeah. Plays drunk.
Reprising his role as a Santa
robbing
Claus.
Banks and shit.
Leave Page. Fuck you, JavaScript in the mouth. Oh, my God.
I don't know what your problem is with JavaScript. Just make your shit work.
Let's see. Donald Glover talks Lando Calrissian.
He should always talk Lando Calrissian.
Yep, there are rumors. That's what he said about it. He's not saying that he was cast for sure, though. And he's like, I grew up on it. My dad was a big fan. It's a fucking dynasty. Blah, 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 blah. He's also going to be in the upcoming Spider-Man Homecoming, though.
As what?
He doesn't say. He's not allowed to.
Oh.
But, as you remember, he was trying to be Miles Morales.
Yeah.
The Puerto Rican half-black Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And if they can, like, kind of... get that in there too, because Marvel's taking a lot from the Ultimate Universe, which is where Miles Morales first comes into play. So that'd be really neat if he gets that, and you get the black Spider-Man costume with the fucking red webbing and shit. Looks so dope.
Looks so fucking dope.
So fucking dank.
Dude,
JavaScript is fucking ruining my life right now.
This episode's called
JavaScript. Fuck you. 15 classic horror movie remakes you didn't know were coming.
Why? Why are there so many?
Another Nightmare on Elm Street.
God damn it.
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Ah, fuck, I don't care.
Did you like the original?
I liked your titties.
Wow.
Your titties was just like, come get me, I'm right here.
Jennifer Love Hewitt, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, her titties were there, weren't they?
Yeah.
But did you actually like the movie? That movie...
When I was that age and it came out, I was like, that's a tight one.
Yeah, I was 10.
I loved Scream. I still love Scream.
Scream's great, yeah. 1997. But Scream was also kind of like a parody of all the films.
Yeah.
With a cool twist at the end. They're doing another Friday the 13th. Yep. It, though, that looks really promising.
I'm kind of pumped on that.
Yeah,
if it's rated R.
I believe it is.
Fucking has to be.
Yeah, they can't do The Grudge, the remaking. That movie freaked me the fuck out. That I hate little dead kids and old ladies and fucking like
Victorian. The Grudge
Victorian.
Is one of the kids like...
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, that was like the lady, but yeah, that was based off of Japanese. That was like right when The Ring happened, so they got The Grudge and like a couple others. Yeah. Interview with the Vampire. I thought that was a really fucking weird one.
Why?
Yeah, right?
It's done.
When was the last time you saw that? We should do a test of Tony.
I fucking love that movie, dude.
Never mind, we won't do it.
Why? Never mind, we won't do it. Wouldn't want to make you happy.
Yeah.
Fat fuck.
That's your words. The Crow?
No.
I think that they could do... I think that they... Like, for how they're treating, like, material now, could you stop rocking the table? I got open containers over here.
I got an itch on my fat foot.
I got fucking water and coffee. This could go all over my laptop.
Well, you'll learn a valuable lesson.
Not to have you on a podcast.
Kill the computer that can't run JavaScript.
But yeah, The Crow. I think that they could do a really good job on that.
With who?
Playing The Crow? Ryan Gosling would be cool.
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, I think he'd be...
He's The Crow.
Yeah, I think that'd be neat. He's a really good actor.
He is, but he's very, like, I guess he is subtle and, like, gloomy.
He can be very brooding and shit like that, too. And, like, he's very fucking, like...
Dude, Hangman's Noose or whatever that band's name is.
Is that his band?
No,
from The Crow, yeah. He's playing that fucking sick-ass guitar.
Oh, dude, just shredding on the top of the buildings.
This one also caught my eye. The Birds.
With his crate amp? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, his tiny little combo, but somehow serenading the fucking
city.
The whole city. Yeah, it's like a fucking, like, 15-watt.
Solo. I don't know.
The Birds is creepy, but like it was made in what, 63?
And for fuck's sake, like there's so many. I guess they're just pick another animal. Make it the ants. I don't know. Why just redo all this garbage and just trying to puke more money out of the same fucking formula? And I get it though. It's smart because there are so many stupid idiots that'll go see it.
Nostalgia, I mean, it was made in 1963. My mom was born in like 54, so even, she was like 9 when that came out. But The Birds is a weird one, but I understand that they have like the whole marketing background for it. They own the name, so they can use it. They're like, hey, we have this, we should use it, you know?
Yeah.
They go into our fucking
Yet
vault.
They don't touch Rocketeer.
Ooh.
Fucking idiots.
Rocketeer remake would be fucking rad. That's a good pull, man.
See?
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
All right.
I could see that.
I mean, it was a garbage film. It's like remaking The Blob. Like,
but with today's CGI, and if you get a good screenwriter behind
it. I guess you just... I want it to be a film. I like films that are made, but not made by the biggest people.
Yeah,
they're totally. The best. Like,
well, it's because they don't have a ton of hands in it, so the creative person is able to do exactly what they want to do.
Yeah,
I agree with that. But I feel like if they get like, who's the guy that wrote Looper? Ryan Reese?
I fucking don't know.
I think that's his name. Like if they got someone like that can like take like a really cool idea and run with it, and also build characters off it as well, I feel like they can make that a really cool movie. Or focus more on the monster and stop focusing on fucking sub characters and trying to make it like relatable.
I know.
Ugh, I hate that.
Are they gonna kiss at the end? Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, I just want to see the fucking creature in the back.
Go rewatch Fallen. There was nothing but despair in that film.
Fallen's amazing. Nosferatu.
Yeah,
they're remaking that.
Yeah,
I it could be good. Like, all these movies have potential, just who's the hand in it is all that really matters, you know? Pet Sematary. I think that would be a really cool one. But then again, like, they don't really need a ton of effects for that either.
No.
But it could be. I don't know. This is going to make you mad. Jacob's Ladder.
Wow, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Go fuck. There's so many thousands of fucking unread scripts in the world.
Yeah, honestly. But they have this, and like a lot, and I'm sure there's a huge amount of people that haven't seen Jacob's Ladder.
Oh, fuck yeah.
We should do that for a test of Tony sometime
soon.
Up. Yeah. Suspiria. That was the Italian film, right?
Yeah. Don't.
I've watched some of that. It is fucked up creepy.
Don't touch that.
That's that beautifully shot, too. Like the imagery.
And it won't be scary. And that's the shitty thing, is you'll go, oh, that new Suspiria was a fucking monster.
Yeah.
Like it didn't live up to any of the fear of the first one. Because it can't.
Mm. Day of the Dead.
All right. Keep going. Sure. Yeah it's a zombie movie. Can't really.
And
can't
The
fuck
Mummy.
It that hard. Ugh.
Yeah, I heard that.
Get Brandon back.
I Brendan Fraser. I heard that The Mummy's going to be a female this time. What was it? Hemotep? That was his name. Yeah, I think they're going to make a female version of
Hemotep.
Him. Emo. I thought it was Hemotep.
Hemotep.
Okay. Well, we're both idiots. So that's the 15 classic horror movie remakes. I can't believe The Mummy's considered a classic. Well, then again,
well,
I guess
there was the MGM.
The actual, like, yeah, that's like in
Frankenstein Mummy.
Yeah, the MGM monsters.
Dracula.
Let's see if I have anything else. Nope, that's it. That's it for news, dude. We're out.
Wow.
Under 20.
I always leave it to you for the news because it's so crisp.
Yeah, thank you.
You always do all the research.
Now we're going to hop into genre 5. This is a weird one. Curveball, everybody. Hobbies.
No, not weird, dude. We're really getting... We're taking it off the fucking track with genre 5.
Also, now you get to know us a little bit better if you don't.
It's more of a get-to-know-your-hosts kind of thing. We're not having guests because we're lazy.
Yep.
We're not really that smart because we're lazy.
Yep.
But you're going to get to know us and our hearts and our souls.
Oh, yeah. Get down to it. So my first one... Can you guess it?
What?
My first hobby.
Your first hobby?
Yeah.
Crying?
No.
Masturbating?
No.
Sleeping?
No.
No, I don't know.
Those are all, you know, just like things you have to do. Those are necessities. Those are hobbies.
It's the same time. Continue.
Skateboarding.
Skateboarding. Yes, I remember you did skateboard that one time.
Yeah. Started when I was 14. I've been a fan ever since. Kind of dropped off when, like most hobbies that you have when you're younger, when you find... drugs and vaginas.
Yeah.
Or buttholes and dicks, whichever you're into. Yeah. But I mean, like, but that really, like, stapled me to, like, not do it anymore. I'm like, this is way more fun and way easier, and I don't have to move that much.
Yeah, I never hurt my knees or nothing.
Yeah, but I've gotten back into skateboarding recently, and it's been a lot of fun. It's very rewarding. I like having... Hobbies are good things to have, people. You should express yourself ways that...
I'd be dead without them.
Yeah, honestly, you would.
Yeah.
You'd be swinging from a rafter.
I'd be swinging from a rafter and breaking the wood.
But yeah, skateboarding was a huge, huge thing in my life, and... It still is, and I'm happy for that.
Aww.
What's your first?
That was kind of corny as fuck.
Thanks, man.
fuck I'll give you my first two.
No, let me guess. Painting miniatures.
Nope.
Fuck.
Well, it's on the list, but not the one I'm thinking of.
Okay, right on. We'll go with that one then. Don't spoil it, because I already guessed
one. Well, two of them are a joke.
Why'd you do that?
Because it's funny.
Why is it funny?
My first one's procrastination, and my second one's self-loathing.
So my second one is...
I'm just kidding. Painting miniatures.
Yeah, you like painting miniatures. What draws you to it? Is it just like the fucking weird, like you have to be really precise?
It's, yeah, the detail. It's like
devil's
such
in the
a
details.
Small, yeah, such a small canvas. and you can, you almost like, you'll do something and no one will ever know because they're not looking for it or they don't see how impressive it is putting a pupil on a fucking inch tall little model that you've built by hand with little pieces of clay and glue and plastic and then sprayed and primed and then painted from scratch.
Now, so that's more just like for you. That's not completely to show off anything.
No one will ever look at that twice and go, that's great. Unless you go to the Painters Guild down at the fucking game store with all the other mutants and they'll be like, oh my God, that's so bad.
Wow.
I'll buy that for $40.
I can't believe you painted pupils. How'd you do that?
And I go, listen, you chocolateites, stay away.
These are for me, not you.
I'm not playing the game with you either.
Yeah, what's the game that it's based off of?
Well, I buy minis from whatever game I want, but the tabletop games are either Warhammer 40K, which is like a futuristic one, or there's Warhammer that's more of like ancient.
Yeah.
Skyrim style.
But you like the mechs and all that type of
shit.
I like mechs and shit,
but then there's one called Hordes.
Zombies?
No, it's sort of like mythical as well.
Gotcha.
There's one based off of Brahms art. He's a really fucking awesome artist, and all the characters for this, I forget what the game's called, like Dark Alliance or something like that,
yeah.
But all the characters are drawings he did.
Really?
Made into little minis.
Now, the miniatures that you get, they come like in like a little plastic like bracket that you have to break off everything.
Yeah, little sprue packs, yeah. And you break them off.
Then you glue them together?
Glue them together. So, like, their legs will be a piece, their torso's a piece, arms, and then a head, and then, like, a backpack or a cape.
Or anything else.
Shit like that.
Watches.
And you can add different shit. Like, it'll come with accessories, like... So you can customize. Then there's what's called... I don't even know what the name of it is. I think it's called modding, like, to where you can melt, like, bullet holes in armor and shit with little pins.
Yeah, you're big into that. You always called it, like, war damage or something like that.
Like, putting battle damage on them, rusting out their shit. Little shit like that that literally you can't talk about with anyone really because no one gives a fuck.
You got me a small bust of an Iron Man one time and for Christmas, and I was like, yo dude, give us some battle damage, and you went through and like put burn marks on him and shit like that. It looks fucking sick and almost like repainted the entire thing. I'll try to take a picture of that and throw it up on our Twitter. I can't read. Also, if you're listening to this and you're not fucking subscribed, EYECANTREAD on iTunes, subscribe to that, please. Leave comments, it's good for us. All right, that was a nice chunk on miniatures,
dude. Yeah, dude, really dug into it.
Way better than self-loathing and procrastination, you fool.
those aren't really, like, you know.
Music recording, guitar playing, making music, that was a huge hobby of mine. Still is, obviously.
That's one.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to be like, music, okay, next one, recording. Because they all kind of went hand in hand. Like, I started playing guitar. My brother played drums, and I wanted to get into guitar, and then I took two lessons, and I was learning how to play, like, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, dropped off of it for, like, 2 years. Mm-hmm. Then my mom got me a fucking nice little red starter guitar, piece of shit guitar. But, I mean, like, that's what I learned all my shit on. Do you remember floppy disks?
Yes.
I had fucking, like, 25, 30 of them full of tablature.
Yeah.
So that's how I learned how to play, like, Blink-182 songs and all that type of stuff. And that just, like, moved on into finding out how to, like, do recordings, and that's when I went to school for, and still doing recordings for, like, my band Leota. We're about to go do our new record. Shameless plug, whatever. But yeah, music's been a huge part of my life. Came around the same time as skateboarding as well, like, around 14. Like, that was a huge thing.
They kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, I was definitely like you could have cut me out of a fucking 90s magazine, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, or so much Billabong wear.
Oh, God, Hurley.
So many pairs of thick DCs.
Jesus Christ, those tongues, man. They were like fucking 9 inches long. They came up halfway to my shin.
Yeah. You could get hit by a fucking piece of rebar. You're like, didn't feel it.
Yeah, they were good. But actually, I understand why they made thick tongues, because like getting like hit right there, like on the bridge of like your foot and shit, like that sucks. So I understand why they do that, but too bad it's not in style, so now I have broken feet. Go ahead, Tom.
Yep. My next one would be, like, I guess I would just call it crafting, like building.
Yeah.
Like woodwork, steel, anything I can create and build.
We talked about woodworking on here before.
Yeah.
Did you do any, like, wood burning?
I've done tons of fucking wood burning back in high school. I'd like, plane a piece of wood and just draw art into it.
Yeah.
And then sign it. Like, building shit out of metal, like, I love fucking steel forging.
Really?
I like it.
Swords?
Well, yeah, like, I made butter knives, I made a table.
Butter knives.
All kinds of good shit.
I love to forge. What do you forge? Butter knives.
Butter knives are my go-to.
I'm just a big fan of spreads.
Framing nails, you know, whatever.
Now, Have you, like, forged an axe or sword or anything useful?
I forged a fucking... I tried forging a sword in high school, and he caught me.
You weren't allowed to do weapons?
No.
Yeah, they frown on that.
The most you could do in metals, I think, someone got away with a grappling hook.
Usable?
Yeah.
It shot a thing and zipped them up.
No, but it fought you a thrown grappling hook.
Oh, okay. I was like, get the fuck out of here. He just made the four horns. That's a grappling gun, my bad.
Yeah, grappling gun, no.
That's sick. That's practical, too.
Like, if someone needs, like, and if I get pumped if I buy something that needs assembled, I get...
Yeah, you were big into fucking, god damn it, the Gundam things.
Yeah, building models.
Yeah, it was models on there, too? Did I fuck up?
Yeah, but... Well, I can add that in.
I mean, yeah, I guess like you like assembling little things, big things, and things made out of wood and metal.
Everything, yeah. Like putting parts on a motorcycle, like...
Yeah, your bicycle, you used to do a ton of mods to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're big into that. You're very handy.
I like doing that. I like seeing something built.
You love giving hand jobs, too?
Yeah, I just love jerking people off.
Oh, man, mean hand job Tony. That's what we used to call him back in the day.
Yeah, handy hand job Tony. Continue.
Reading comic books. By the way, we need to
reading comic books.
Yeah, no, I was big into comics growing up too, and then it also fell off when I got to like high school age and like girls and stuff like that. But I've come back into.
Oh, they didn't
it.
Want to talk to you about comics.
Oddly enough, no. I'm like, guess what Superman did this week? She's like, shut up,
just shut up.
Let me suck your D. I'm like, okay. And then I stopped reading comic
books. Sure, they said that.
No, they didn't. They're like, you gross. Get out of here, you fucking weird little hobbit. Like, my feet are just a little hairy. But yeah, no, comic books has been a huge... Obviously, I fucking talk about comics every week on this fucking podcast.
You do.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. And mostly to you, Frank. I really enjoyed... One of my favorite ones from childhood was Superman versus Aliens.
Yeah.
Because I loved Aliens. And
I had Judge Dredd versus Aliens.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so cool they did all those crossovers. I don't know why they don't pick that up more now. But yeah, I've obviously gotten into more mature comics growing up.
Mm-hmm.
American Vampire is a really good series by Scott Snyder. And so is Lock and Key. That's Joe Hill, Stephen King's son. What was the other one? Oh, yeah, Sweet Tooth.
I was going to say Jeff Lemire.
Yeah, Jeff Lemire. Oh, his art is so cool. Like, very, like, watercolor-esque, very simplistic, but at the same time has a lot of really cool detail. His comics are, like, literally, like a volume. So, 6 issues is probably maybe a 20-minute read.
Yeah.
Yeah, that series of Sweet Tooth is so awesome. Definitely recommend that. Go ahead, Tom.
Next on my list would probably just be, like, the classic hobby of video games.
Definitely.
I had so many... fucking video games growing up.
Yeah, we went through like all the systems.
Yeah.
Genres.
I highly enjoy them. I don't play like I used to. I used to like, I'd be like coming home to continue my Final Fantasy VIII like progress, like bust out another 5 hours in it.
You know how like you like used to go to class or school or whatever, but you'd be thinking about the game you were playing because it's like so fucking riveting.
Yeah.
And
or you'd
mind.
Be like in the library, like trying to Google image like cool shit about the game, like
before we had computers
or something.
At our fucking hands.
Dude, that's where like I don't know. Also, like the idea of getting one new game, like when I had a Nintendo 64, I got 007 GoldenEye for my birthday.
Nice.
That was. I don't know. It had to have been hundreds of hours of friends and brother and me and just
not only that, the storyline for that game was really cool because like the level based thing, you started like adapting speed runs to it and shit like that, seeing how fast you could do it, see what accolades you could get during it,
getting
and stuff
new
like
levels.
That.
Yeah,
yeah, that game was great. A big one for me was like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. Like I fucking loved that game. It was a yellow cartridge, the first one.
Yeah.
Holy shit, I played the fuck out of that game. But yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. Mine's watching movies and DVD collecting.
Movies and DVDs collector.
That hit me real hard when I was like 16 or 17. Tuesday movie day. Every day or every Tuesday, I would go to Best Buy and see what was new. And now I just go there and fucking write it down and find it some other way. But because I spent a lot of money. I have like over 400
you
DVDs.
You have a fucking silly amount of DVDs.
Yeah.
So. I have like 40.
Yeah, I mean, they're all in trash bags in my closet. I don't even, like, I need to build a shelf. Oh, you're woodworking, Tony.
Yeah, but I'm also a procrastinator.
Oh, and you self-loathe, I forgot.
so I don't think I'm going to be good at it.
A huge thing that got me into DVDs was the commentary and the special features and all that type of stuff. But since the advent of Blu-ray, they can't fit all that stuff on there because movies are now so huge and DVDs only hold like 4.8 or 4.1 gigs of information. So I kind of fell off of doing that, and I was running out of money, and wanted to buy other
things. There were days when I'm like, you bought 8 movies today? You're like, yeah, it was like $5 sale. I'm like, still.
Yeah, I know. I would go to fucking the exchange and literally just grab, like, I was like, oh, I don't have that. I don't have that. I don't have that. And just, I have unopened movies still in there.
And now look at it. Netflix.
Oh, fuck. Streaming fucked me the fuck over.
Yeah.
And not only that, when I stopped buying movies, I was like, wait, Netflix is just going to have this shit forever? No, they don't.
No,
They take stuff off.
They do take it away.
But yeah, no, I've been wanting to break out the collection because there's been a few movies that I want to watch, like The Dark Knight. Like, that's not streaming anywhere, and I don't want to download it. And not only that, like, downloading it, you get all the pixelation and stuff like that. Like, there was something, I loved, the first time I popped a DVD in, I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. And especially listening to the commentary tracks, all the Kevin Smith movies, those commentary tracks are insanely, not just, like, cool to listen to behind the scenes, but very informative to how the process is made.
Yeah,
like I guess like fucking Schwarzenegger does commentaries. He's like, all right, so this is where I see the three titty lady. Like he just describes the fucking movie. Like in this scene, I'm gonna do this. That's all the fucking commentary.
Here we go again.
It's insane, dude. But yeah, that got me huge into DVDs. Go ahead, Tom.
Next on my list would be art.
Yeah, that's my last one, too, so we can just bang mine out as well.
And I added it with, like, riding my motorcycle, only because both of those things really calmed me down.
Yeah.
But riding my motorcycle is a newer hobby, and I don't do it as much. And now art is since I could draw, I started drawing.
Mm-hmm.
But now I feel like life has sort of withered me.
Yeah.
Down to nothing.
Wow, do you think you don't have any like creative?
I'm a husk of a human.
Yeah.
Yeah, left that's sort of just withering and dying in the sunlight of adulthood.
Yeah, wow.
And so.
That's the name of
my inspiration.
Dying in the sunlight of adulthood. Or husk. I think husk of a human being. That's probably
a good one. Yeah. Good. So, as I was saying about my horrible, horrible depression and how adulthood has crushed me down to
powder
of nothing.
Okay, motherfucker.
I don't draw anymore.
You will, though. Once winter hits, that's when you usually get to drawing. You like it going out and doing shit. Like, you were big into, like, trails and stuff like that. Not so much this summer. But normally you would go on walks, like Brandywine or fucking Blue Hen. All that type of shit.
Yeah, I did. I used to do things more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until you were a husk of a human being. Anyways, But you're very more outdoorsy, and like you also like got more into like woodworking and shit like that, and you got more into like making shit for your bike and riding it and all that type of stuff. So I mean, you just kind of like other hobbies take over and take the place of your hobbies.
It sucks though, because I wish I didn't have to work to just pay rent and feel miserable and live nearly paycheck to paycheck with no change and no future and no like I never get to. Like dive into the hobbies the way that they should be like taken. They should be taken seriously.
Yeah.
I'd be good at some of this shit if I had the time.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, what is it? Like you spend 1,000,000 hours doing anything, you'll become a master of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be like the master of the jobs I have for a few years.
Yeah, totally. Well, I mean, and also you don't have the passion to become a master either.
Yeah.
Like you just get good at it over time just because like you.
Oh, just
because
I'm awesome. Yeah.
Well, and the fact of repetition.
I'd say it's because I'm really
mostly,
adaptive.
It's like mostly
adaptive,
awesome.
Like a chameleon.
You're right. Yeah. You just blend right into the walls. But yeah, drawing was a big, pretty big part of me. I used to tape 3 sheets of paper together and then draw like a big Batman or a big
super
or big
super drawing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I thought maybe I could get more detail, but no, it's just like
I loved
a bigger version of a shitty drawing.
I gave
that I
you
did.
All those pens, those markers, and you like went to town and did all these drawings. I was like, dude, these are good drawings.
Yeah, after like fucking like 3 of them, and then I stopped.
I know.
It sucks that you fall off. Yeah, I did a really cool Daredevil. That was really proud of that one. But yeah, your drawing is way better than mine. But that's something that I like to do. Like even like watching a movie or something like that, like grab like a fucking sheet of blank paper and just start drawing. I usually like to try to draw something that already exists, like that I can look at.
Yeah.
Just mimic it. You're one that can like literally just like from your mind just draw something sick. Like the guitar playing guitar, yeah. Like the stipple drawing of the 3-eyed fucking dragon monster. That thing's insane. I wish
you
could get fucking pictures of these and throw them on our Twitter, so you should follow us and see them.
Yeah, it's so aesthetically pleasing.
Oh, God. Do you have any more?
Nope.
All right, well, that takes us out of genre five. Hobbies, get to know your hosts.
Riggity diggity.
Last week, you learned about our favorite box dinners. This week, you learned about hobbies. All right, let's hop into weekly recommendations and rejections. I watched Zach and Miri make a porno.
Yeah.
That's on Netflix. That movie holds up really fucking well. It's really good. I tell you.
Justin Long is...
Oh, my God. He is a fucking beacon of light in that movie. Yeah. I just want to jam your dick in my mouth. Like, and you can totally tell it's ad-libbed. It's so fucking perfect.
I'll be your Sherpa up the mountain of gayness.
Dude, that shit's so good. Oh, man. That movie is fucking fantastic. If you haven't seen Zach and Miri make a porno, it's great. It's like almost it's basically like Kevin Smith tried to write a Judd Apatow movie.
Yeah.
That's how it felt. I hope that's... I mean, he's...
With the Judd Apatow actor.
Yep. Yeah. Seth Rogen.
Yep.
And Elizabeth Banks is fantastic in it. Who's the black guy that's in it? I can't remember his name.
I always forget his name.
Fucking goddamn it.
Yeah, what?
He was in Hot Tub Time Machine. Someone's like, you fucking idiots. Why do you do this?
You stupid, stupid morons. And I say, hey, no one's forcing you to listen. Delete us.
No, don't do that.
Delete it all.
But don't say that, Tony. Take it back now. but yeah, I don't know, like it has its cheesy moments and shit like that, but Craig Robinson, fuck.
There you go.
Yeah, he's fantastic in it. He's so good. And his wife, like, she's like, oh, you got those saggy ass fucking balls. He's like, what about these saggy ass titties? And titty flops her.
Smacks her.
Yeah, I was like, no, it doesn't smack her, just like...
Or as some of my more titty smacking friends would call it, bean dipping.
Yeah, it's a bean dip.
Yep.
A little bean dip. All right, what do you got?
I watched a few episodes of Brickleberry.
Brickleberry, what's that?
Brickleberry.
Fun word to say.
Animated show. What the fuck is his name? Tosh Point. Daniel Tosh is one of the voices. I don't know who the other voices are, but it's a raunchy as fuck animated show.
Is it on Netflix?
Yeah.
Cool.
Rated R. Like, I'm pretty sure it's rated R. Yeah.
Is it a show?
It's an animated show.
TVMA.
Yeah, TVMA. Yeah. I mean,
idiot.
It's funny though. Like this, like one character like farts, and she's like, "Sorry, that was my vagina." Like, she's like this big beast of a chick, and like it's like not a regular fart. It's like, she's like, "Sorry, awesome. That was my vagina."
That's amazing. I watched Lost in Space, the remake with Gary
Alan
Oldman.
Rickman, yeah,
yeah. No, not Alan Rickman. You're thinking of Galaxy Quest.
I am thinking of Galaxy Quest.
Which is on Netflix, and I haven't been meaning to watch that.
Wait,
Tim Allen.
Lost in Space.
Gary Oldman plays Dr. Smith.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's... Dude, I mean, horrendous CGI and very bad acting.
I remember I liked Penny.
Penny's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, that was his daughter.
Big fat crush on her.
For sure, same here, yeah, because that movie came out and... Oh, fuck, I can't... Hold on, I'll look it up. But, yeah, that movie, it has a 1998, so I was 11. And mm-hmm. I saw it in theaters. Gary Oldman plays the villain, Dr. Smith. But it has a really fucking cool... Joey Lawrence. Lawrence, my bad. Joey from fucking Friends. He plays like the badass pilot.
Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah, thank
you. Dude, when his fucking face shield...
Holy shit, right? Yeah, there's so much shit that you're like, dude, that was so rad. But then you watch it and you're like, wow, there's a ton of dog shit.
Oh, ton of dog shit.
But the plot to the movie is actually really cool. A lot of time travel stuff and like the bubble that's like getting bigger. It's on HBO Go, so I know that not all of you have access to that. But if you do, I would definitely say check it out. It's solid. Jupiter 2 is the ship name.
Okay.
No, but yeah, it's a rough watch sometimes, though, too.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, go ahead.
I also watched Traffic.
Traffic. Looking for my chapstick. Feeling kind of carsick. There's a Ford Maverick. You know who that's from?
It's MC Chris.
No, it's not.
Isn't it?
No, it's oh god damn it. Go ahead. I'll look it up.
Sounds like MC Chris.
No, it's not. It's oh fuck. It's
chapstick.
Do you remember in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back the dude that grabs Chris Rock coffee?
Yeah. Fuck. What's his name?
Jamie Kennedy.
Kennedy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's in a movie. It's like some like gangster movie where he's like a white gangster.
Oh, Malibu's Most Wanted.
Yeah, he's singing that in the fucking car.
Traffic.
Looking for my chapstick. Feeling kind of carsick. There's a Ford Maverick. That's the only good line in that movie.
When they throw him in a dumpster full of white bread.
Yeah. there's parts of that movie that are pretty strong. We should do a test of Tony on that.
Jamie Kennedy's a piece of shit.
Everyone, holy shit, yeah. I mean, he was like the Pauly Shore of like his like fucking life. All right, go
that
ahead.
That sucks. Traffic is fucking incredible.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in a long time. That's the new roadie is in that, right, from Iron Man?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We
don't know his name. Fuck him.
Shut your mouth. His name's Don Cheadle.
The Cheats.
Don Cheadle, Catherine Zeta-Jones,
Entrapment.
Fuck, who's her husband?
Sean Connery.
No, he plays old Hank Pym.
Oh, Michael Douglas?
Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
Benicio del Toro.
Yep.
Fucking incredible.
Jacob
fucking
Vargas.
Role. It's a sad, rough movie about the fucking the war on drugs.
Yeah. Trafficking.
What it is, yeah. What it is to be a fucking cartel, what it is to, and it makes me want to watch Sicario again so bad.
I still haven't seen that. You highly recommended that I need to watch it.
Highly as fuck. Actually, that's what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to get that.
Oh, should I have it? I can give it to you.
Oh, you're the best.
And that's on Netflix, right?
What, Traffic? Yeah, fuck yeah. Yeah.
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back is also on Netflix, which I also watched. And I watched Jay and Silent Bob Super Groovy Cartoon Movie.
What the fuck?
The animation is, I don't know, I was just like, God, I haven't seen these movies in a while. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back is fucking fantastic. It's like watching like an animated movie, basically. Like the
super movie.
Yeah, and then like all of the universes collide of the Kevin Smith world, and obviously I'm a huge fan of that. But
Will Ferrell.
Dude, yeah, Will Ferrell's incredible. Like Jamie Kennedy, Gus Van Sant, like he's just counting money. He's like, what, he's like, Ben,
God damn it, I'm counting.
Yeah, he's like, Ben, whatever, just go. I don't care. There's so much good, like,
so action?
Yeah.
I'm busy. What?
Applesauce, bitch. Fucking, oh,
you're the bomb in Phantoms, yo.
Yeah, but Affleck was the bomb in Phantoms. Phantoms like a motherfucker.
No, that movie is
very underrated, I feel like.
His most quotable film.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. Well, and Clerks might
probably be his biggest film, production-wise.
Yeah, I think it was like $26 million or something like that.
I mean, I remember me and Joe used to fucking binge watch that.
Same here, yeah. When it came out, like, I remember watching, it was on HBO all the time, and I would just get a Pizzone every day from Pizza Hut and just, like, watch it, and then I'd go skateboard. But I fucking loved that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God damn it. And it holds up still today. Great. And remember the end of Mallrats?
Yeah.
And how it's telling everybody's story and shit like that? And then it's, like, Jay and Silent Bob, and then Suzanne, the song is playing by Weezer, which I don't think was ever released on an album.
No, it's I think it's a rare.
Yeah, and like, they're like, for Jay and Silent Bob, well, that's another story. And they're holding the monkey, and they're just, like, walking away into the sunset, and that's what this movie takes. There's so many cool little Easter eggs in that. Good.
Suzanne's one of the best songs they've ever written, by the way.
You're all that I wanted in a girl.
Yeah.
Good.
I also watched Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Fuck, that movie rocks. I need to watch it again.
That movie,
I could literally hear Tony laughing out loud from a different room. And like, just hysterically cracking up. Oh, it's so funny.
Little stuff. That's what I fucking dig, is because both the main actors are fucking incredible actors.
Yeah.
And in those roles, they're perfect. It's campy and corny in certain parts. And the girl from that, from 30 Rock, that plays the cute love interest of fucking Dale, she's a fucking nothing person. I get that. And all the sub characters are nothing people. I get that. But those two fuckers are perfect.
Katrina Bowden.
Yeah, Katrina Bowden. Should be called Katrina Pretty Face Quiet.
In related movies like Cabin in the Woods, Shaun of the Dead, Zombieland, like, those are all great movies of that genre. But yeah, Tucker and Dale, I mean, did you ever watch something in the Book of Pure Evil? Son of a bitch.
I know what you're talking about.
Oh, God damn it. Of Pure Evil. It's a Canadian show. Yeah. Fucking, what's his name was in it?
I watched like three or four episodes.
Todd.
Yeah.
Dude, you should watch the whole series. It's fucking awesome. It feels so much like Tucker and Dale.
Yeah.
But it's like high school-y a little bit, but it is really strong. Todd and the Book of Pure Evil. I'm pretty sure that's still on Netflix. It might be. I don't know. Maybe Hulu.
Dude. I'm just like recalling some of the fucking, it also makes fun of fucking films, which is my favorite.
Well, it's like
part.
A parody.
Yeah,
it's like
it's
Shaun of the
college
Dead.
Kids actually being the fucking monsters, and these hillbillies that are really like sort of backwoods and creepy are just these two innocent guys that want to drink beer and fish.
Right. It's the flipping of the genre,
and I love it so much because they do it in such a fucking clever way. And he's like, and when Dale's just like, well, we just call the cops, and he's like, oh. Just call the cops. Oh, officer, hello. We've just had a doozy of a day. There we were, just doing some chores around the house. And these college kids just start killing ourselves all over their property. Like, he's like, and then they literally have to say that because a cop pulls up. And he's like, well, hello, officer. And they're carrying his half corpse, like one leg each, and just drop the legs. It's like, you are not going to believe what happened. We have had a doozy of today. The officer's like, you got to think I could be the dumbest motherfucker ever if I'm going to believe that.
That's awesome.
Dude, the way everyone dies is perfect in that film. They're stupid, so they die in stupid ways.
Right.
And then literally, they're just like, why'd you do that? don't jump in the fucking wood chipper.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's awesome. Yeah, Tucker and Dale's great. That's also on Netflix. Check it out.
Yes.
The Da Vinci Code, I rewatched that.
So much mystery and intrigue.
Yeah, there's a lot of parts that you're like, Jesus Christ. But Magneto's in it, and he's really good.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just like... the old timer.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he's like all big into the conspiracies of them trying to cover up that Mary Magdalene was the carrier of Jesus's child and that there's a bloodline of Jesus still there. Yeah. It's the biggest fucking kept secret in the Catholic Church.
And that's like what she was in the movie Dogma was a last descendant.
Yes, of Christ, yeah.
What is that called?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, good one. But yeah, Da Vinci Code, that's also on Netflix. It's a long fucking watch. The Ron Howard directed, wild.
Yeah.
I think they're making a sequel.
They
to
are.
Or a the third. Yeah, because Angels and Demons was the second one. Good.
Yeah, that's all I saw this week.
All right, I rewatched Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. The CGI in that movie does not hold up, but it's still fun. And it's one of the most magical and like fucking whimsical of the... because it got very dark at the end because everything has to be broody and shit like that.
Everyone's growing up, yeah.
Well, but also if you listen to the books, it's definitely more of that magical aspect of it and showing the cool intricacies of the of Hogwarts and like the things that they do, the classes they take and stuff like that. It's much more like... intriguing the books than it is, but this one has that kind of whimsy to it.
I saw this cool quote that said music is magic for muggles.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I was like, that's clever.
And I started watching this TV show called The Batman. It has very like the reminiscence of like the 90s animated series Batman. The Joker, the person that they got to play him, was very Mark Hamill-esque and stuff like that.
Where did this air? When?
Is
it an old TV show?
I mean, I think 2004. So
what
kind of,
to
but
it?
Not really. I think there's five seasons.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it got a pretty healthy amount of play and it looks like he hooks up with the Justice League and shit like that. But yeah, no, it's actually really good. Very strong. It's not like as kiddie as you think. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, this dude comes to talk to Bruce Wayne about the Batman and stuff like that. And Alfred's like knocking over pots because he hears like, oh, yeah, the Batman was out. And he's like, oh, Master Bruce was over here. And it's like, why is Alfred such a bumbling fool? But yeah, it's pretty strong, actually. I watched the first episode last night and I really like it. I'm definitely going to check it out more.
Cool.
You might have to go to the kids section of...
I always have to go to the kids section to check out you're watching.
Mostly, yeah. I'm a child at heart. All right, so that it brings us out of weekly recommendations and rejections, and we're going to go into Test of Tony, Dreamcatcher. What's his name? Morgan Freeman's eyebrows are out of control.
They are
on that
fire.
Holy
and
fuck.
This is one of the last films that Tom Sizemore was in that I've seen him in.
Is that the guy that was with Morgan?
Yeah.
Okay, right on.
His second in command.
Yes.
The amount of like little... I don't know what you would call them, like phrases for the people in the films, nicknames, terms that they use like to describe situations and shit.
SSDD.
It's so like dug in, but you never get any sort of fucking help with them.
Yes.
And it's very like, oh, they took direct quotes of their dialogue from the book. That was probably well explained by Stephen King.
Well, that book's like 900 pages.
And they turned it into what is... I don't know. You tell me what you were feeling. Like,
I thought that like it was very dense, which I liked a lot. They were trying to develop the characters and the relationships between them in the movie, which I felt they did pretty well for the time frame that they had. I didn't fall in love with any of the characters. I mean, like, there was a couple I was like, oh, fuck, that dude rocked. Like, Jason Lee and shit like that.
Yeah.
This is also on Netflix, so we're not going to spoil it if you haven't seen it. But it's a really cool horror and sci-fi movie, and the fucking grays in it are so rad. Like, I thought that was really cool. Like, the way that they're like, oh, well, they take form of what they think we want to see.
Yeah.
Like, something like,
those
big eyes and shit like that. But they keep coming, and basically Morgan Freeman is like a task force that, like, is hunting them every time there's an outbreak. And the whole, like, it's insane, but it has a very it feel to it.
Yeah.
Because the flashbacks of childhood.
The flashbacks of childhood, the four friends.
Like, and explaining, like, how they got to where they are. But the, I believe.
A connection.
Yeah, definitely,
them,
yeah. Which he's real big into. I mean, like, even if you look
he
at Stand By Me.
That, yeah.
And I think it was called The Body. I think that was the original name of the book that Stand By Me became.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of really cool stuff between the friends. They have, like, kind of magical powers and stuff. It's cheeky, don't get me wrong.
Oh, dude, Duddits and all that shit is...
Duddits is amazing. I Duddits.
I think... Now, I've read some reviews that said it's one of the worst adaptations of one of his books.
Really?
I've never read the book. I can't...
See, but I also heard The Shining deviated so hard, but that was so critically acclaimed, but I heard that, like...
That's also a director that
Kubrick?
Does no wrong.
Yeah, true. But did you ever see the TV movie of The Shining?
Uh-uh.
It's the dude from Wings, the younger brother...
Okay.
He plays Jack's character.
Yeah.
Which I think his name was Jack in the book. I can't remember. Anyways, I heard that that's like a very, I think it was a mini series. It was either a TV movie or a TV, like, series.
Yeah.
Like six episodes. Kind of like The Stand. But I guess it followed the book, like, way more. Anyways, so this is one of the worst adaptations, he said?
That's what I read, is that that's in weird. Terms of, like, how well it was done towards the book, it was just... flimsy because they couldn't add all that other greatness that we didn't know about.
Yeah, I mean, like I said,
I didn't know a ton of reasons why things happened. There was not enough backstory.
Now, I wonder if you read the book and then, like, went to this, if you would enjoy it more. I enjoyed the movie. I remember seeing it a long time ago just because Jason Lee was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Jason Lee. I was like, oh, cool.
I thought the tone of the film, like, the red ash on everything, like, the way it was filmed...
The snow, like,
oh, the look of
the,
like the cabin,
desolation,
the snow, the blood, yeah,
or like I guess like the like I don't know, you felt so like alone,
yeah,
there.
There's an isolated, yeah,
isolation, yeah, there you go. And the guy from The Mist, I can't remember his name, he was the first Frank Castle in the Punisher movie,
yeah,
he was
Thomas Jane,
he was really good. The guy from Go, that was the drug dealer,
yeah.
Do you know his name?
Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah, exactly. He was fucking awesome in that. He was one of my favorite parts of that movie.
And then the dude from...
Jason Lee and then...
Jonesy.
And then I don't know who Jonesy was.
Jonesy's an incredible actor, though.
Yeah. Oh, dude, when like...
Like the little like smirks and then he'd be like... Ting, like
yeah, yeah.
Hey, what's going on?
There's a lot of really cool stuff with him. And the whole... I really dig the plot. So I'm guessing the book... They probably took the big chunk of the book that was cool about it and like
yeah.
kind of just...
Or maybe even... Like putting into film the idea of what's inside someone's mind looked campy and shitty.
Yeah, it's kind of like a warehouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get it. It's clever to an extent, but I'm also like, this is a dated movie with okay CGI.
The aliens look
okay
cool.
Acting.
The aliens look cool. I'm trying to see if it has the page count right here. 896 pages.
That's a fucking big one.
That's a big book. Yeah. Bestseller, New York Times. But yeah, I'd give it a 6 or 7, 6.5.
I give it like a 5.2.
I would definitely rewatch it. I like it.
It'd be a few years.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Right on. I dug it a lot more than you, I guess.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Oh,
fuck you too, man.
$68 million production budget and made 33 domestically and 75 worldwide.
I read something about, returns lately, about films. Like, so say your budget was 50.
Yeah.
And you only made 90 at the box office. Mm-hmm. When we think about that, we're like, well, it's 40 over.
Right. Well, then you think of like...
But then they say if it doesn't triple production budget, it doesn't consider itself a success.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It doesn't actually start reaping reward.
Why?
After that. Because beyond production budget is all the other parts of...
Advertising.
Of advertising, marketing... All the fucking distribution, all the fucking production of, like, physical DVD and all that.
Hmm.
So, when you look at those production numbers, it's just for
the
actual on-taking of filming.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, we look at it and we go, oh, dang, well, that thing was a killer at the box office.
Yeah.
Technically, it's probably rough to even... They would never, ever fucking look at that movie as, like, a... Great success.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, but if you had an $8 million budget movie and then it became an Oscar contender, and then it blew up in $100 million in sales in the fucking box office, you've done an extraordinary thing. That's why low-budget movies that are great and they get blown up.
Blair Witch.
Dude, those people are literally in seventh heaven, like just fucking laughing it off.
In the Paranormal Activity, that movie
like,
cost
like
pennies.
Like $3 million budget,
All right, so movie of the week, we did Better Luck Tomorrow, which I felt... All right, so me and Tony watched... it's an MTV movie.
Yes.
Production budget was $250,000.
So, like, 2001?
Let me see here.
I think it was Justin Lin's first film.
What else has he done?
The fucker who does all the Fast and the Furious
2003.
Movies.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Wow, that makes a lot of sense, because that movie was shot insanely well. There's so many cool shots in that movie, but the production budget was $250,000. It made $3 million.
Okay.
Well, 3 million, almost 4, 3.8.
So, the cinematographer and the fucking, all the fucking
Yeah, the director
filming,
of photography.
Yeah, the director of photography.
I actually waited at the credits. I was like, I want to see who did this shit, because, like, yeah. Even the actors were fucking incredible, and I was like...
They're so young.
Yeah.
And it's, dude, it's a full Asian cast, and he's an Asian director.
Another thing that I thought was really cool was that they made it a full Asian cast, and also kind of, like, took on, like, parts of, like... what they go through being Asian.
Yeah.
And also, like, a mafia-esque, like, approach to it as well. It was... the trailer that we saw was absolute dog shit.
Dude, I was hoping you wouldn't dog on it because it's so fucking almost B-level.
No, I felt like... it. No way. It felt like a really well-done indie movie, which I guess is considered a B-movie, but, like, it had a ton of heart to it. The actors were fucking great in it. Virgil was an awesome character.
Virgil and Han are...
Yeah, Han's great.
I think the main character was the least strong.
Ben?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. All right, I'll give you that. But I felt like he had, like,
you
the...
You think of everyone else. Derek, Han, and Virgil. Well, then Ben.
But Ben, like, I felt like he had a hard undertaking for his part because he had to be, like, the fucking...
Oh,
like,
he had to
kinda...
be dickless.
Yeah, exactly. Which he is said in the
I
movie.
I know. Also, fucking, Sulu. I forget that fucking dude's name. Harold Kumar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll look it up.
Fucking fantastic as an early role for him. I want to tell you how I found this film.
Good.
I literally was at Suncoast at Summit Mall when it was still...
Suncoast, yeah.
Yeah, when it was still
John
there.
John Cho.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So I was just dicking around at Suncoast, and I saw the box, and the box is like a blue silhouette with black outlines of them.
Yeah.
And it just says Better Luck Tomorrow in red at the bottom.
It has a bunch of the Sundance accolades. Yeah, well, Sundance accolades.
But it looked cool as fuck, just the box coloring. And I read the back and literally paid like 19 fucking bucks for it at Suncoast.
Wow.
And bought it on a whim, didn't know anything about it, went home, and I think I was at my grandma's, and I watched it like twice that night. And I was like, dude, this movie is fucking, for what it is, you couldn't be like, oh, dude, it's up there with fucking, like, The Godfather. It's not that film. It's not going to be, like, how you feel when you watch Casino.
Right.
But it's also not as shitty as, like, when you watch a fucking teen movie.
Which it kind of was.
And it was. It was all about fucking high schoolers. But they didn't feel, you notice you never see a fucking parent in the film.
Also, they're drinking beer at the fucking prom.
Yeah.
That was, I was like, is this a speakeasy?
That's what I mean. It almost is like a surrealist film because there's no adults in the film. It's
and
just
all like,
these high schoolers in their own reality.
Basically, like, the movie is about this group of Asian dudes, Ben, Virgil, and Han at the beginning, correct?
Yeah.
And those three dudes, like, kind of do scams. They're, like, they're all about to go to college.
They're all, like, straight A fucking Ivy League.
Exactly. They're into, like, a
super
debate
students,
team or whatever.
Yeah.
Not debate, decathlon.
Academic decathlon.
And fucking, so those three dudes at the beginning are, like, basically, like, doing scams, like, returning things and shit like that, getting money that way. And then they start getting into scams of, like...
cheating.
Yeah, the cheat sheets. Yeah, selling those off and stuff like that. So that's, like, how they get into it. And then they start, like, it just starts snowballing into them becoming kind of gangsters of their high school. And it is fucking insane. Like, that movie takes turns that I'm like, what the fuck? I don't want to fucking... Because I guarantee no one's seen this fucking
no
movie.
No one's seen it. I know.
And if you haven't, I mean, it was like $3 on Xbox, and I'm sure it was the same as if you do standard. But it's so worth a watch. Holy shit. Like, I would say, like, I'd give it like an 8 or a 9. Like, 8.5.
I'm
like,
really happy you liked it that much, because, like, for a rated R... high schooler based MTV film.
I'm about to say the MTV film, and
not
only that,
it explodes. Like,
don't watch the trailer. Don't.
Don't.
It sucks.
So dumb.
It's so bad.
And also, don't go into it thinking it's going to be the highest quality visuals, because the cameras are fucking cheap and the shots are grainy and the filters are sort of really, really raw.
You know what's weird? When I was watching Da Vinci Code, like, it was one of the most grainy looking movies I've ever seen in my entire life.
Everything's so dark.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's like, what the fuck were you thinking? But I guess, like, I know cameras have, like, been better since then, but it was crazy. I was like, Ron Howard fucking shot this?
The
crazy
cinematography in this film.
Oh, it's great. The shots are fucking beautiful.
Absolutely, like, the sped up to slow motion to describe events, the spinning cameras, 360 views, like,
Justin
really
Lin, I mean,
shit.
You can tell that that dude was like a fucking visionary. He is great at making things look good. He did the new Star Trek Beyond, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I said, I was like, that movie shot gorgeously. It just fucking dog shit plot.
Yeah.
But, like, this movie has a great plot, and it's so cool to see, I guess this would be his freshman film, correct?
Yeah.
So it's really nice to see what he came from and, like, how good he can do with a good storyline.
Yeah, and he really knocked it out of the park, but it's one of those things, like, it's an unsung hero.
Oh,
because no
sure.
one I ever talked to, besides maybe little Scotty and Dan, and that's about it. Because I let them fucking borrow this film.
Do you still have it?
No, it's fucking shattered when I was moving one time. Like, I shattered a bunch of DVDs.
Oh, damn. Yeah, you can see it on Amazon for $2.99 as well.
Yeah,
highly recommend this movie. It is fucking fascinating, and it's gripping. Like, it kept me intrigued the whole time. You know how I like to sleep during movies.
Oh, you always pass out.
Ooh,
yeah.
And I didn't. I really dug it. Like, I have it for the next, like, I think like 10 hours or some shit. I might rewatch it. It's really strong though. Yeah. What was your score?
My score is by far 8.5 or 9. Just because you could watch it, and someone who doesn't know what they're getting into would go, oh, well, this is a low-budge, lame movie.
Yeah.
I don't really know why I was watching this. I could be watching something brand new.
Mm-hmm.
It's not brand new. It's fucking a 2002 fucking film, and it was a tiny-ass fucking budget with really, really fucking low-res cameras.
Yeah, $0.2 million.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Honestly, that's a fucking, like...
That's nothing.
That's nothing.
Movie business.
And that's a full cast. That's multiple locations.
And that girl Stephanie that's in it, that was her first role.
It was it?
Yeah, it said introducing.
Yeah. See, he did little stuff. Justin Lin did little stuff before that.
Was this his first feature?
I think Shopping for Fangs in 1997 was his first large directed movie. Yeah. But beyond that, this was his first one that like launched and had... I mean, it's got a 7.2
on IMDb.
It's not, and it's a 67 Metascore, so it's not like a horrible film,
no.
even in the critics.
Even critic,
eyes.
Yeah, and obviously audience as well, because I think the 7.2 Metascore is also audience based as
yeah.
well. Yeah, so definitely check out Better Luck Tomorrow.
Fuck yeah!
All right, so next week for Test of Tony, we are going to do The Core. Get ready for that one. Strap in. We're going to the center of the earth, motherfuckers.
Are we going to go through the lava, too?
Oh, we might go through the mantle tone.
and hit the diamond part of the earth?
Spoilers. Movie of the week.
Fuck off.
We're doing Synchronicity. Both are on Netflix. Watch them with us and hear what we got to say. And until next time, go burn books.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Podcast Channel production. Executive produced by Bob Camparta, Paul Wolf, and Sean Ast. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.podbean.com.